When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You are listening to the Heartbeat of Kitsap, powered by the Silverdale Chamber of Commerce.
Divided, and I'm sure all of you experience the same things that I'm experiencing, which are the tough conversations at work, at home, at church, at football, at the mechanics. I'm like, everywhere, everywhere you go. So that's why we brought in Jonathan Stone today to talk about the value of civil discourse. So he's going to take us through some tips and some tricks to get us having some better conversations and creating a little bit more value in our relationships with those conversations. Jonathan Stone has served as a leader and teacher at New Life for the past 15 years. He has also led international teams for 10 years through Youth with Mission, and he's currently working on his master's degree. And from Northwest University, he's a Kitsap native, and Jonathan's favorite place to be is on the water, so we're happy that he came on land for us today. Jonathan.
All right. Well, good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Oh, I'm honored to be able to be with you today, and most of all, just grateful that you are here in this great building that the community helped build and be a part of, and I'm so glad we're able to use it. And I just wanted to start by specifically saying that, like, thank you for being business leaders in this community, and it has not been an easy go this past year and a half or however long COVID has been here, but I want to say thank you for continuing to serve in the community in the way you do. And I realize that many of us, we're in a job, you know, and it's like we got bottom lines we're trying to meet and sales goals and all those different things. But at the end of the day, like, the greatest commodity we have is people. And so, if that makes sense, like, the people that work with us, our clients, the people that we're consulting, the people that come into the office and work with us or in sales or wherever it might be. And I just want to say thank you for providing a place for people to work, to engage. And you've probably been called upon in this season more than ever to, like, do more than just, like, help other people just do their job. It's like, we've also been counselors. Anybody else? Like, it's just, you're like, I didn't get a lot of training for this, you know, pandemic training, but I missed that class in college. But just thinking that we have an incredible opportunity, and I love what's happening in Kitsap right now. I just think we have the opportunity to set culture and pace, and really, I love this community. And so, anyhow, so excited to share. I hope that this morning, the words that I share, I hope that there's something helpful in here. I haven't really ever spoken to a business community quite like this. I've sat in the seats like you have many times. But today I get to be the one up here sharing with you. And so hopefully there's something helpful. If not, we'll just call it, we'll chalk it up for that wasn't helpful. And we'll move on. And you don't have to invite me back, Crystal. So, well, anyhow, I was asked to speak on conflict and civil discourse, and you may be wondering, why is this guy speaking on this? And the honest truth is, I have no idea. I asked myself the same question. Well, actually, technically it's this, is I have figured out how to live a conflict-free life, and if you follow my 12 easy steps, we're only 1995. You too can have zero conflict in your life. No, I actually think conflict is like one of those things that I'm super fascinated about. I kind of have questions about. And so let me give you a little bit of my background. So I grew up in Kitsap here, born and raised. And in fact, my wife, I married my childhood sweetheart. We're raising our three kids in Kitsap. In fact, just sent one of them to Western Washington University this year. She wants to be a teacher, so she's applying to the Woodring program up there. And, you know, my wife, we drop her off, we drive home. The whole way home from Bellingham, my wife's crying, she's sad, she's left. And, like, the next day, I just, like, high-five my wife. I'm like, we did it. Like, we brought a human being home from the hospital, cared for it for 18 years, and then we launched her into the real world. Of course, last night she called us and announced after being there for a month, she's got some major changes happening in her life. I'm like, what in the world? You've only been there a month. Whatever, honey. You know, but I was like so proud. So anyhow, okay, so a little bit back. So, long line of Kitsap family. My grandfather was the mayor of Port Orchard back in the 80s. And so my wife likes to say we come from royalty. You know, the mayor of Port Orchard, you know, big town. And my grandmother, she was in the legislature down in Olympia. She was a representative for our area for Kitsap, and I think she served two terms. I remember as a kid, you know, doorbelling with her, you know, door to door, vote for my grandma. You know, I think that's why she won. But I just, so honestly, like, I come from a very political family. And the thing about politics is there's, like, so much conflict in it, right? And so I'm like, I don't want anything to do with that was kind of my thought. And so I became a pastor because there's no conflict in religion. So I was like, that'll work. But honestly, like, at the end of the day, I just realized this. No matter what sphere we work in, there's conflict. Like, it's all around us. And the question I want to ask is this, is there potential that conflict isn't all bad? Like, is there a way for us actually to leverage conflict, our differences, to actually strengthen our companies, our businesses, our relationships? Is there a way to use it to do something good with it? And I think study after study is actually revealing that actually you don't actually produce a great meeting without there being some element of conflict. Otherwise, we just have sheep that are just doing whatever we say, and if they don't feel like they can be themselves or voice their opinion or share a different perspective, perhaps we haven't fully gotten there as a team and fully embraced our strength. And so it's conflict's everywhere, and I don't know, has anybody faced any conflict in the last maybe year and a half? You know, maybe just a little bit? Yeah, online? You're like, that's why I'm online? Yeah, it's just everywhere, and I think some of us, we've probably felt a little bit of the pain of it, of just, it's even in our own homes, it's, you know, in the office, it's around the water cooler, it's in the different places we go with clients in different places, and I don't know about you, but has anybody unfriended anybody in the last year and a half on social media? Maybe silence them, because unfriending seems a little harsh. I saw this quote from Thomas Jefferson. He says, I never considered a difference of opinion in politics, in religion, or philosophy as a cause for withdrawing from a friend. He wasn't even on social media. And yet he gets it that tends to be our tendency, is when we have conflict with someone, we want to withdraw, but I want to ask the question, what actually happens when we go the other direction? And honestly, I don't know if this is kind of what life feels like right now, a tug of war. It's like we're constantly being pulled from one side. No, be on our side of the issue. No, be on our side of the issue. In fact, this last week, I went to the eye doctor for my annual checkup. Anybody an eye doctor here? Okay, anybody online? Do we have anybody in the Kitsap Forum that's an eye doctor? Maybe. Love eye doctors, but that's the weirdest profession. You close the door, make it dark, and then you get really close. Just honestly, like it's weird. But my doctor said this. He said, I would hate to be in charge right now. He's like, it doesn't matter what decision you make, half the country is going to hate you. You make a different decision, the other half of the country is going to hate you. He's like, I'd hate to be in charge right now. And I just think that's the world we're living in. Is it just seems we're so polarized in views and decisions, and it almost seems that we're more divided than ever. And yet I ask this question of, like, what would actually happen if we embraced conflict? But I heard this question, it really rang true. And the question is this, is have we lost the ability to debate ideas and instead we attack the people with those ideas? There used to be a time in our history when ideas could be volleyed out there and there could be conversation around it. And it didn't like actually attack the people with the ideas. It actually just attacked the idea. But I don't know about you, but I'm almost afraid to post anything on social media because I don't know what people are going to think and what's going to happen with it. But we can't just put ideas out there because they get attacked. But that's out there. And good news, it's safe in here, right? So there's never any conflict in your workplace with your teammates, like, right? It's just conflict free. Or is there actually conflict? I mean, has there ever been that moment where you're just like, oh my goodness, don't talk about that right now. Don't bring up that subject. Or perhaps it's on the other side where it's like, the team is hoping you're gonna do something about them. Like, you're gonna say something, right? And you're like, I don't know if I want to, because that's gonna create a whole lot of conflict, but the whole team's hoping and wishing that you would address it, that you would say something, because the entire team sees it. So what are we supposed to do with that? Is there a way to embrace conflict and actually leverage it to strengthen and build our team? I think the answer is yes. The answer is yes. I read a book, and it's by a guy named Oz Guinness. And yes, that Guinness. His great-great-great-great-grandfather was Arthur Guinness, that Dublin brewmaster that created Guinness beer. Which, by the way, fascinating history on the beer. They actually, like, saved people's lives through that beer. It was the only food they had. Don't know how else he has, but anyhow. So Oz Guinness grew up in communist China. His parents were missionaries there. He grew up there, and then he moved back to the United States as an adult. And he recently wrote a book. It's been a decade or two, and it's interesting how he wrote a while ago, and yet it's so applicable to today. And in his book, he basically kind of talks about where culture's at today. And the way in which he describes it, he uses some words that I'm like, I don't know if I'd use those words to describe everything, but basically his view is that we've kind of put the world into kind of two categories. And he proposes a third one, that if we were to actually take on conflict, this is the way we would need to do it. And so he calls it like civil discourse. And I wrote down a definition of civil discourse. And basically, civil discourse is engagement of conversation intended to enhance understanding. It's a discourse that supports rather than undermines societal good. So civil discourse is this conversation, I like the word, enhance understanding. In other words, it's to help us understand better, understand the idea better, and it supports rather than undermines societal good. In other words, civil discourse is meant to elevate, to bring up society, to elevate people. It is to bring about the good for our collective whole. And I want you to think about that. Each one of us in our businesses, in the work we do, in the place that we give ourselves to in this community, I mean, at the end of the day, I think all of us in this room are like, I hope that I'm helping. I hope that I'm elevating society rather than undermining it. And yet when it comes to conflict, what happens often is we go the opposite direction. So Oz Guinness, he comes up with these terms, and so he basically says this, is he calls them the square, and he's kind of getting terminology from the old days when people would gather in the community square, the town square, if you will, and they would debate ideas. In ancient times, they would sit at the city gates, and that's where the philosophers would ruminate about ideas and theories, and they would talk about it. And so he says, we got to get back to the square, and so he has, but what we've done is we've created these polar opposites. On one side, you have what he calls the sacred square. And he says, basically, it's where we've taken anything of value, belief, things that people hold dearly, and we've kind of insulated ourselves from the rest of the world. And so we gather people with us that are only just like us, believe everything we believe, and we put that together. So that's the sacred square. And then on the other hand, he has what he calls the naked square. He's like, there's another view in society that actually says, no, you need to strip society of any of those beliefs, any of those values, any of those convictions that people have, that doesn't belong in the civic world. That doesn't belong in the sphere. And so you have these two extremes. One, sacred. We're just going to insulate ourselves from the rest of the world. We're going to just gather people that are just like us. And then the other side is, no, we actually need to take all that away. And so you have these two extremes. My question is, why would we go to one of these two extremes? And I think it's because we only listen to a single story narrative. That in either one of these camps, what you end up with is groups of people that are all the same, that they tend to exclude anybody that would bring any diversity, anybody bringing any opposing views in either side, that if someone was to bring one of their beliefs in this group that didn't fit with the group, they would reject it and send them back. And so his proposal is actually this. He says, what we actually need is a third way, a civil square. We need to go back to a civil square where you're able to bring people together and actually embrace that diversity and work together to solve issues and problems. Now, I don't know about you, but I have people on both sides talking to me right now. So being a pastor in this church, in this community, and particularly a church of this size, you better believe when this is full on Sunday, there are people that are very diverse in here and have differing views about all sorts of things. Anybody else, like, you have people on both sides you're working with, you're talking to? Yeah, maybe in your house? Yeah, I mean, it happens. And so I look at this and I realize that more than ever, things are dividing us, and yet the question becomes is, how do we get back to this civil discourse, this enhancing understanding, this bringing about societal good? And I reflect back and I realize there are moments and times in our culture where we put all that other stuff aside and we actually come together. There's been times throughout history, there's been times in recent history, we've watched it and seen it. In fact, this last summer, I had a moment where I got to witness it. Unfortunately, one of our students in our church tragically lost his life this summer. They were South Kitsap residents, and he went to Vashon High School. And when the students heard about his loss, they wanted to do a vigil and get people together in the community. And so I showed up as well, and I showed up to that parking lot by the water. And I kind of stood up and I looked out and I watched people from different socioeconomic status. I saw the all nations, the colors of people together. I saw people with different religious affiliations who'd gathered in that place. And what I realized was there are moments and times when we realize we actually need each other. We're actually better together. We're actually stronger as a community when we lay aside our differences and we actually come together. And in this situation, it was to mourn the loss of a young man. But I'm like, why does that have to happen for us to come together like that? It shouldn't be that way. And I actually think we long for this type of connection. We desire this connection with other people that we actually don't want everybody to be the same with us. We actually enjoy the differences. And I believe this, that for you as a business leader in this community, for you and the teams you lead and the clients you interact with, I actually believe this, the more diverse your circle of people become, the more you open your life and embrace people that maybe don't think or do things the way you would do them, I actually think your company, your business, your clientele will be more attracted to what you're doing because they want to be a part of that too. And yet often, we're not sure how to do it. And so I've been doing some research and I've been studying, like, okay, how do we do this civil discourse? How do we live in this world that's so polarized, so different? And so doing some research, I came across this this rule. So the only rule of the civil discourse is don't make it personal. I was like, yeah, that's it. That's it. Like, if we're going to debate ideas and not attack people, the goal is to not make it personal. You can't. Like, anything you care about is personal. Like, and we're not, like, debating whether you like Coke or, you know, Pepsi or, like, you know, do you like Starbucks or local coffee? Like, I mean, those are, like, frivolous things. You're like, I don't know, I won't make that personal. If you like something different, that's great. But, like, the things that are going on in our world right now, they're so personal because they affect us. They affect the people we love. They have the potential to affect generations to come. I think we know that it's not just like we live in our lifetime and it's all isolated. No, we pass it on to future generations. And so I'm like, I don't think that's like a rule we should follow. And I get it. They've got bigger degrees than me and more web pages than me. But at the end of the day, I go, I don't know if that's even possible. And here's the reason why. Because I have thoughts, I have opinions about everything. Is anybody else opinionated? Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, as leaders, I make a joke around here at New Life. I'm like, we hired some of the best leaders in the world, and man, do they have opinions. Because we do. We have views, we have opinions. And so I think that's important for us to understand is like, what forms our opinions? Because what forms our opinions, I actually think, has the potential to, like, affect how we interact with other people. In fact, like, I can change the climate in this room, and I'm not talking, like, temperature, thermostat. I'm like, I can change the feeling in this room just by a word. Like, you online, like, I can impact you by just saying a word. Can I do that? Like, just, okay, mask mandates. Mandatory vaccines. Oh, here's one. This is a good one, right? Jesus. Everybody gets uncomfortable with that one. Or here's a better one. This one's even better than Jesus. Trump. I mean, there's something inside of us that, like, I'm joking about it, but honestly, like, we have been in those settings, in those situations where someone says something about one of those topics, and something inside us rises up. We feel something. We want to maybe say something. We have an opinion. We have a view. Like, you can't just, like, keep stuffing that down. What are you supposed to do with it? Well, I think it's important for us to understand, like, where do we get these? And so we've seen these concentric circles that overlap and stuff, but I think this is important for me to understand, and maybe this is helpful for you, that what forms our opinion comes from our beliefs. There are things that we believe, and I would say this is also the knowledge, that the information we take in influences what we believe about the world. But then it's not just our beliefs and information we understand, it's also our feelings. Like, I'd say this is our heart. This is what comes from inside us, inside our heart. Like, we have experiences in life, we have things we've walked through, that there is immediate feelings, emotional response to what my counselor calls triggers in the world of, like, there's things that are said that happen and we have a feeling about it. But then there's also these behaviors. And I say our hands. This is the way we live, and I also could say this is the way we choose not to live. So we might have beliefs and feelings about something, but whether we live accordingly or not probably says more about what we truly believe and what we truly have feelings about. But I think it's all these things that actually influence our opinions, and that's why it's personal. That's why it's not just something just like, I don't know, it doesn't really matter. No, I have experiences, I have beliefs about these, I have the way I live my life, and some of these things are impeding on the way I want to live my life. In fact, author Rick Warren, he says this, our culture has accepted two huge lies. First is that you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise your convictions to be compassionate. I love that idea that we literally can hold on to our beliefs, our feelings, our way of living, and still have an opinion and still enter. The question is, how do we do that? Robert Jones Jr. says this, we can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. That's where we cross the line. And to me, that's where we lose civil discourse. That's where we lose actually leveraging conflict to help us grow and to help things to happen. Here's what I've realized. At the end of the day, I cannot control anyone else's opinion. Like, I can't change it. I can't control how other people respond, all that. But I do know this. I can me. Like, I can lead myself. In fact, around here, we say the hardest person to lead is me. Like, I'm the hardest person to lead. That I can just get my, if I can just lead myself, that makes leading to other people so much easier. And I wonder this, that if we were to lead ourselves in this area of embracing conflict, of actually healthy conflict, of actually understanding civil discourse, of actually understanding how to walk through this, I wonder if actually the entire community around us would experience more good. That there'd be more peace. There'd be less division. And I'm not like talking like we're all sitting around singing Kumbaya together and all that kind of stuff. No, I think some great things can be done for the betterment of our community when we choose to interact healthy. And so I want to walk through this quadrant, and I'm coming close to my end here, but I think the trick is, how do we move from being divisive all the way down to unifying? So we're going to experience conflict. We're going to have opinions about things, but how do we go from it's only going to be divisive and separate us all the way to unifying us? In fact, some of my favorite team meetings as I've been a pastor with the team that I work with, there's about 15 of us, is when, like, man, we throw something out and it's debated and hashed about and we tease one another and we joke with one another. And actually there's some moments where maybe someone got a little frustrated. You can see it in their face and you're like, oh boy, this is getting good. You know, and you're just watching, waiting for them to fight. But at the end of the day, we come to a conclusion and we're like, that's actually better than what we started with. We're actually more unified as a team around this. We may not all agree and we may have had a different opinion, but for the sake of the team, I'm gonna let that go because I actually believe what we came out with because we chose to wrestle with this. We chose to wrestle with the idea and not insult one another, but actually encourage one another, draw it out of one another. We actually came out more unified. But the challenge is this, is we have this vertical difference in people and how they process life. And I'd say there's groups of people that perhaps are more focused on facts, data. Just give me the information. Like, I want to make decisions. I just want to be on the data. And on the other hand, you have people that are more wired towards feelings. They're going to lead from their heart. It feels right. It's just a gut instinct. It's how they navigate life. And neither one is right or wrong. And I think it's actually impossible as a human being to probably live dead center between those two. But yet we got to realize that around our table, as we're meeting, people are processing things, decisions. They're navigating life according to either facts or feelings. But I want to show you what happens, that if we just live in the facts and our attitude is divisive, we're not willing to move towards unifying, at the end of the day, what happens is we become arrogant. That honestly, people are ignorant. That if they knew what I knew, they would all agree with me. That's totally how I parent. But at the end of the day, people see you as heartless, that you don't care about people's feelings. You don't care about what I think. And so it becomes this. Now, on the other hand, if we say divisive and feelings, what happens at the end of the day is we become fearful. Insecure would probably be another word. The feelings are so influenced by things around us and the changing of seasons and all the different things that happen that we can sway. And so feelings at some points are very great, but if we allow all of our emotions, all of our feelings to always lead us and we're divisive in our attitude, we might become fearful. And in that, we basically come to the conclusion that people are mean. And it is, I don't like those people are mean, and honestly, at the end of the day, we become a hater. There are certain groups, segments of the population that we don't get, we don't understand, we don't like the way they make us feel, and so therefore, hate can come in there. Now, I don't think any of us in this room are like, I hope that's the way I'm living. The challenge is culture and society will continue to try and push us that direction. And yet, what happens if we focus on facts? We actually can become more humble because it's that famous saying that the more I know, the more I don't know. That we actually can get to a spot where the more we study and understand, the more we realize that perhaps I don't have all the answers. And perhaps there's more than one way of looking at things or doing things or understanding, that there's more to this. And maybe we'd even get to the point where we'd actually ask people, help me understand where you're coming from. The curiosity would be part of the dialogue and the conversation. And in fact, maybe compassion would grow inside of us. That this knowledge, these facts we have, would actually allow us to become more compassionate around issues rather than heartless. Now, down here at the bottom, if we're unifying and we're leaning on the feelings, we'd become more inclusive. Rather than being fearful and hating and excluding people, I actually believe that when we grow towards a unifying nature, we actually become more inclusive of more people that are actually even different than us. And perhaps we would even say to them, I'll sit with you in that. Like, that's what empathy is literally like, I'm willing to sit in this. Like, help me understand what you're going through, and I'm willing to sit with you in this to try and understand what you're feeling or how this makes you feel. I may not have it, but I'm going to try this. For about 5 years, I volunteered as a chaplain with the South Kitsap Fire and Rescue. And I tell you what, to walk into some of those calls with the tragedy that happened in people's lives, like to walk in and to sit with people that lost a loved one, a house just burned down, whatever it might be, like I had no idea what they were feeling. And yet the trainers for us just simply said, sit with them. Just sit with them. And I think that's actually what our culture needs, is more people that are willing to sit together, especially people that are different. And actually, I believe this, that what grows in us is that empathy, that ability to sit. So these are the quadrants, and this is kind of like a guinea pig run with this that I'm working on. But I just wonder, like, what is it that actually moves us from devices to unifying? Because we can try as we might to be humble. That's really hard. You know, like, I'm going to be more humble. Or I'm going to have empathy, you know, compassion and that kind of stuff. Here's what I think the game changer is. It's story. Story changes everything. When you get to know someone's story, I actually believe it changes the entire conversation. It changes my opinion. I had to make a phone call yesterday to someone, and the call was, you know, is an employee, a team member, and they I don't know if they're watching, but they basically, like, were trying to do something, and I'm like, in your email, I'm just like, that doesn't work for me, because it makes it sound like that wasn't yours, like you didn't make that decision. That's not like you're trying to blame someone else, maybe me. And so I had a call.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I'm like, oh, this is going to be rough, like conflict, like call them out on something and be like, hey, that email doesn't work for me. You got to figure out a different way to communicate that, because that's just that's not going to work. And so knowing I'm doing this training means I got to be on my best behavior, right? So I call him and I just like, hey, tell me about this. Like, I read your email and I don't know if I'm fully understanding what you're trying to say. And by the way, emails are like the worst, okay? Text messages, even worse. Like, whenever there's potential for conflict, I'm like, please call, talk, face-to-face, FaceTime, Zoom, whatever you got to do, because there's so much subtlety in communication, right? And so, anyhow, so they begin to, like, talk, and basically as they begin to share, like, the circumstances behind the email, like, at the end, I'm like, you can have whatever you want. There was some coaching in the call, because I was like, that email, like, just think that one through before you send that one next time. But it allowed me to understand more of where they were coming from. Story makes a world of difference. It actually changes how we feel. It changes the information about what we know, about what's truly going on behind someone else's opinion, someone else's view, how they see the world, how they're navigating it. And so I think at the end of the day, it's really, tell me more. I want to be curious. Like, what is going on behind this? And so I just wrote down like three things for us to get back to civil discourse, just three simple things that I'm trying to put into practice, that I'm trying to help with. And the first is this, is listen first to understand. Listen first to understand. Like, this is like the best like parenting advice. This is the best marriage advice. This is like the best like business advice I could ever give, is like, listen first to understand. Listen first to understand, not to respond, not to share my opinion, not to get what I want to say, not to just like move on the conversation, but actually listen first to understand what they're communicating. And this is where follow-up questions are so important. This is where we have to draw them out and draw them in and really get behind. One of the books I read one time said there's always a question behind the question. There's always like something when someone asks me, what do I think about this? How do I view this? Or whatever it is, there's always a question behind it. There's always a story behind that. And I've got to have ears that are willing to listen to understand what's really being said, what's really being stated. The next question is this, is ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? I got this one from my counselor. A few years ago, I found myself wound up in a counselor's office, just finally had decided, like, there's stuff in my life that I can't figure this out on my own. My wife's like, yeah, I'll go with you. And so I was in Seattle in a counselor's office, and he just said some things to me, but he's like, John, have you ever asked yourself why you're feeling this way? And I'm like, no, but I've like asked myself, how do I get rid of these feelings? And it's that iceberg principle that, like, we've got the symptoms up top, but, like, down underside, like, there's something there. Remember that chart with the beliefs, the behaviors, and the heart, the feelings? Like, there's all that going on. And so when those trigger things happen, it's like, why does that emotional response? Why is it that I get angry? Why is it that I all of a sudden want to say something? Why is it that I feel like I got to blast them on Facebook? Like, what is it inside of me? If I would just pause for a second, go, wait a second. Why did that drive? It actually is probably more about me than them, is the conclusion I've come to in this. And I think sometimes there's things that happen with people we work with or clients we interact with, like they say or do something or whatever, and we just, but we hold it together because we're professionals and we're at work. But I think you can only do that for so long before what happens, we take it out on loved ones. It shows up and behind closed door. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, it's like, we got to vent somewhere. We got to let it all out. But I want to ask this, why am I feeling this way in the first place? What is it inside of me? And like I said, I can only lead myself. Like, if I can figure that out, I think I'll have a help. I mean, go back to the first one, listen first to understand. Like, if I don't understand what's going on in here and here, how in the world am I ever going to understand what's going on in someone else? It just, I'll never understand where they're coming from. And the last one is this, simply look for the third way. I just think, you know, what's another option? What's another way that we can go at this? Obviously, we're not seeing eye to eye on this. Obviously, we're vastly separated by this. Is there a third way? Is there a way for us to come up with a creative solution? And I'll tell you this, the third way is way harder to come.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Come up with. It is so much exactly as us, but I think what I appreciate even about Kitsap Business Forum is this bringing leaders from the community. They're doing a variety of different things together in one room to share ideas, and hopefully through that, we're learning from one another. And I just wonder if, like, there's some creative ways for us to work together. There's some creative ways for us to navigate life. Let me end with this story. I recently read online that scientists were able to take the very first picture of a black hole. Did anybody see this? I mean, it was big news. I didn't know that's what we were trying to do. Like, I didn't know it was on the top list of scientists, but I guess it was. I thought we were still trying to get to Mars, but this is on the way to Mars, I guess, or whatever. But anyhow, this is the picture. I'm like, oh, okay. That's a black hole. Got it. Okay, got it. But what's fascinating about this story, and I think that's why they actually put it in the news, was how they got this picture, how they got it. They actually, what they did was, it was over 200 scientists that came together, and they basically, from Hawaii to the South Pole, on this whole section of the hemisphere, they basically took every telescope, every satellite, and they pointed it in the direction they knew where this black hole was. Like, they pointed every single one of them in that direction. And rather than each one of these telescopes and satellites trying to take in the entire black hole, they had it focus on just a piece of it. And the scientists actually said this. Basically, what they did is they created a telescope that was the size of planet Earth. That if you were to build one, that's how big it would have been. But because they chose to focus on each, just a little piece of it, the result was this, is they actually had, I think it's called a petabyte. It's 1 million gigabytes of images that came back from this, all these. And then they spent years compiling, these scientists putting the pictures, putting all the pixels in the right place to make that picture. And what this story made me think of is this, is perhaps when we gather people that are so different than us. Perhaps when we bring people that have differing views and variety of lifestyles and choices in life and the way that they live, that perhaps when we gather us together, we are actually able to see better. Like things, perhaps, we get a better perspective because of the people that are around us. That's easier said than done, right? I mean, I'll just tell you, this last week, like, I was introduced to some people. I'm like, I don't have a box, like, that you guys fit in. Like, there's, like...
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I'm like trying to go like, I don't do living life and doing life and all that kind of stuff. And yet I realized at the end of the day, I wonder what would happen if I got to know their story, their journey of what got them to this point in life. That perhaps I would realize that it actually gives me a better picture. And so two questions I want to end with is simply this, is one, could it be that the more diverse the people around us are, the better we'll see the solutions to the challenges we face. Could it be that some of the solutions are outside of the current group that we're hanging out with? And then if we'll expand our lives, open up our lives a little bit more, and invite more people that perhaps think differently than us. One of the things I'm trying to do is read stuff that I wouldn't normally read because I maybe don't agree with. Does that make sense? Like, how do I help me understand what other people are thinking? And then the last question is simply this, is what if the team member or colleague wasn't the problem, but actually a perspective that you're missing? Like, maybe they're in your life for a reason, and it's to help. And so here's simply how I want to end, is I want to go back to this chart here. And I want you to just take a moment where you're at, and we're wrapping up, and I'm almost done here, Crystal. So just, maybe at your table, you'd be so inclined to, like, share maybe facts or feelings, like what tends to navigate, and how do you navigate through life? I mean, you may say it's a blend of both, but in this issue, I mean, you can bring up real issues if you want. Like, where are you at on that? And then maybe even, like, are you moving that direction? And maybe we could even share, like, what are some of the things we're doing to move towards more unifying conversations where we celebrate diversity, and in the process, we actually get a better perspective. Okay, so take a few minutes where you're at. Maybe online you want to do that as well. Share some in the comments and posts. But that's what I got. Thank you so much.
Any questions from the audience or on Facebook, Angela? Any scenarios you want to play with?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the diagram that I love. So we have divisive and unifying on our x-axis, and facts and feelings on the y-axis. This is for our viewers out there who might not be able to see the slide. And then story is right where they cross. So my question is, what do we do when the story is being manipulated? Yeah, this is the big question, because we see this from other governments and, you know, big issues besides just us in this room. It has huge consequences for our perception of reality. Yeah. So I'd love for you to just kind of explore that with us.
Yeah, no, I think that's so true. And I would say that every story is manipulated. I mean, there's details of my own story that I told here for a specific purpose and a reason. Manipulate might seem like an evil word, but I was actually trying to head in a certain direction. And so, again, I go back to listening to the story, listening to understand, like, what is it about this story? Like, you left, like, help me. Does that make sense? So I get it. There's mass story out there. And that's where I go, like, I don't think we can, you know, take on, you know, the news channels out there and be like, we're going to fix this. I think it's one-on-one stories. That when I say story, that's particularly what I mean. And my wife and I were talking that our oldest daughter, she's got a situation in her childhood that she shares the story, and we just came to the conclusion that's actually what she thinks happened. Like, it is nothing bad. She thinks she got hit by a car, and the honest truth is she walked into the car. She wasn't paying attention. The car was parked. It wasn't going anywhere. But in her head, from her five-year-old brain, she got hit by a car. And she tells people that, yeah, when I was five, I got hit by a car. I was okay, though. We just laugh because we're like, no, you walked into it. We were there. Like, it's your parents. It was parked. Fred Meyer parking lot. So anyhow, people believe the story they share. And I think it's for me, like, I've just given up on trying to correct the story or point it out. And it's more of listen and help me understand. And to ask questions, go like, well, why is that? Why is that that you, well, how does that actually make you feel, that part of the story? And so to me, again, it's how do we get past the layers of that? I mean, you think about an onion. I mean, there's layers there. And it's probably not the best example because sometimes they stink. But, you know, I just, there's layers there. And I think for each one of us, there's layers here. And it's going to take some time to actually get to the heart of the matter. But I think that's a great question. And honestly, I turn off a lot of the stories out there because I'm just like, depending on who you listen to, I mean, you just swayed, and if you're emotional, I mean, or if back, I mean, you get so easily swayed, and I'm just like, at the end of the day, I don't know if that's actually helping us. I mean, be honest, I don't think, like, we were, like, our brains are able to comprehend the amount of information that's going in right now. I just don't think we, like, I get it, maybe we've, like, developed, like, this ability, but I just think it's, I'm just watching what's happened to teenagers, and I'm just like, I don't think we were intended for all that to come at us. That was for free.
Any other questions?
It's a good freebie.
Well, that's great. I was hoping I'd answer every question you had.
So how do you get to a place where you can have a discussion with people who, just because they don't agree with you, refuse to tell a story or to discuss it or to debate it? I have a feeling that a lot of people just never took debate in school. They don't, you know, it's almost, yeah. there's a way to have structure and there's a way to talk about things and then go right to the other side. And how do you, is it just a matter of being patient and nice? I mean, is yeah. that what it takes?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, some, depending on who you read, I mean, they you know, number one rules, don't make it personal. There is lots of advice out there that, like, civil discourse isn't just politeness, but there is dignity and respect in how you communicate. And so you can have passion, you can have language, but again, it doesn't attack the person, it attacks the ideas. And so I don't have the full answer to that. But again, I go back to what is it in the conversation? Like, what is it we're trying to accomplish here? And I think, you know, I went to a marriage seminar a while back, and, like, the husband and wife, they said their like, key word or code word is same team. So whenever it feels like the conversations start to turn against one another and it's no longer about the issue at hand, one of them will go, same team, we're on the same team. And then it's like, oh, I may need a minute here to compose myself because I'm realizing I'm actually... I've stepped over the line. I'm now attacking. I'm now actually talking in a way that's not helpful. And so I thought that was great for marriage. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool to have, like, a mercy rule. Like, we need to do this. But I think at the end of the day, sometimes that's what needs to be set up. I mean, in a debate, often there's ground rules. And, like, if you take the class, there's ground rules. There's time limits. There's those kind of things. But, I mean, you even watch, I mean, not pick on stuff, but, like, our presidential debates anymore, or even our local debates, I'm just like, holy moly, what's happened to, like, this conversation? I go, this is the evidence that we've lost the ability to debate ideas. Instead, we just attack character, we attack people, we attack all that stuff. And I get it, those issues are important. But if that's our go-to rather than actually debating ideas, I'm like, we've lost civil discourse. And I think we've lost a ton of ground in actually bringing up societal good. And so that's not a full answer for you. Let me know how it goes. But I just, I mean, take it away from, like, national political issues or whatever those are, and just bring it into work settings. Like, I think it's good for us to set the ground rules. Like, hey, team, we've got this project, we got this thing coming at us, and we're going to take 15 minutes to debate this, and I actually want you to bring your full self into this conversation. If you got ideas, process, and I've also learned this, that some people publicly, they're never going to share their opinion. And so I'll even tell, hey, if you want to write it down, write it down. If I'll call on people, like, hey, what do you think about this? You haven't said anything. Yesterday in a meeting, someone was silent the entire time. Okay, give us what your thoughts are. And usually those people are the smartest, and they're just waiting for everybody to get all the other crap done. And then they're going to go, like, well, actually, when you started, I actually knew it. You know, and they're the best because they're more mature. But you get what I'm saying? Like, I think we got to pull it out and set ground rules. I think far too often we end up in a conflict because we didn't know it was going to go there, and then we didn't have a plan for what we were going to do. And I'm like, one, if there's potential that's going to create a ton of tension, I'm going to get a couple people that are going to be in the room. I want them in the loop beforehand. Not just so they're my ally. I actually want them to know that this is coming. And so please help me referee this and bring out the best in it. Help me stay on my best behavior. And then two, when we get in there, I want to set the ground rules and go, hey, we got some stuff we got to go after. We're going to talk about this. What are we going to do? I mean, you probably have had to do that. I mean, I don't know how many meetings I've sat in about the pandemic stuff. So many. What are we doing this week? What are we doing this week? You know, all that kind of stuff. And it was all of us sharing our feelings, our opinions, and we had to come out of there with like a concise conclusion as a church, how we're going to operate during the season. And like our favorite like line that we had was, we're going to play by the rules. We're going to play by the rules because that's what we're going to do. Now, yeah, everybody has their own rules. So.
So through the course of your talking, I've been thinking about like, what are the things that you're sharing that are going to be roadblocks in trying to, you know, have this better way of approaching situations? And I keep going back to the quote that you shared from Robert Jones Jr. about, we can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. So I think we can all agree that whatever one of those trigger words that you had mentioned earlier, whatever side you're on, we've decided that your disagreeing with me is now infringing upon my rights. And I guess that's where I'm going to continuously get stuck, and I know that. So what is your suggestion when you're faced with that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that is one of the biggest challenges, and yeah, I'm kind of on the journey of trying to discover how do we live in that. And again, I go back to it changes everything when you know someone's story. And so I get there's like entire groups of people out there, or segments of society that, you know, that's the conversation we've had. But for me, like even this last year when the race conversation just kind of, you know, elevated, I mean, I immediately went to friends that are different than me, and I'm like, can we have lunch? Can we talk? Because like I'm realizing there's stuff about this I've never thought about or considered, and yet I realize you live this every day. Can you just talk? Can you help me not be an idiot? Can you help me like not put my foot in my mouth? Like and it was so good to like have this conversation, and I think that's perhaps what we miss is we know about those groups, we know people in those groups, but we don't necessarily actually have friends or draw them in or pull them close. And so I think it's easy to go like, oh, there's this group of people out there that are infringing on my rights, or you're infringing on my rights because you believe differently. And I think that's the one story narrative, that the single story narrative that's out there, but I don't know if that's actually the reality, like right here, present. Does that make sense? Like in my neighborhood, I just, you know, none of my neighbors are like, man, you're really infringing on my rights. I'm like, I mow your lawn. I hope you're happy. But does that make sense? Like, I just think when you actually get down to it, and it's actually personal conversations, I think that breaks down pretty quickly. Now, of course, there are hostile people out there. There are people that, and to me, they're in the extremes of these camps. And I think that's what the narrative is that the world wants us to believe, is there's two camps, pick one. And I think all of us in the room are like, actually, we're pretty reasonable. I'm kind of in this camp on this, and I'm kind of in this camp on that. And this one, I'm not even really sure, but if you had to press me, I guess I would go here or there. I think there's a lot of nuance to the way we think about things and the way we do stuff, and yet we're constantly told, no, it's either this or this. I mean, it blows my mind to go like, oh my goodness, if you start down that rabbit hole on Google, on Facebook, on Twitter, like, guess what? It's just going to keep feeding that rabbit hole and you'll never see the other side. And that's where I go. We've got to figure out how do we actually listen to people that are different than us. And so, like I said, I'm on the beginning ends of this journey of going like, how do we walk through a culture that it seems like if I have a different view, some reason you hate me or you think I'm less human or whatever it is. And it's like, no, I actually love you as a human being, believe you have dignity. Let's talk. Let's get to the story behind it. Usually there's something behind the story that's causing them to feel that way towards a different group. And I think if we can get there to the iceberg, I think it's going to help.
Awesome. Thank you. There's the third way. I had one question while you were chatting with Angela is, what about some of those rules that you use? You're heading into a conflict conversation with family, team. What are some of the ground rules that you put in place that help have safer or like create that safe space?
It's a good question.
You can tell me to go away.
No, ground rules. Yeah, I mean, immediately I go, there's no name calling. I just think sometimes that you know, name calling is one that derails it. I tend to leave out, like, character. Like, We're going to attack the issue, not the character. Like, I'm not going to bring up your past and things you've done as a leverage point of how I'm going to get my point across. So it's not that lane. I'm going to actually, you know, want to probably listen more than I talk. And I think that's probably the hardest thing for me and maybe a lot of us is to actually be willing to, like, withhold what I want to say so bad and instead just really listen. And, yeah, my wife would say he's still working on that. We could probably come up with some ground rules together of things you do, because I'm not the only one that's probably led through conflict and led through different stuff. I did read, I'm trying to remember the author's name, it's called The Art of Negotiation, I think. He was an FBI negotiator, one of the top ones. I can't remember what his name is. But I read the book, and I was like, holy cow, like, you're not a human being. Because you can be in those hostile environments, and your heart rate doesn't go up. You stay calm, cool. I'm like, you're a machine. Like, no wonder. And then he, like, trains, like, just do these things, and you'll be good. I got done with the book, and I'm like, hey, well, that's not for me. Never going to be a negotiator. But I just think some of the principles in there, I mean, I can figure out what it is, and we could post the link. But it's, what's that?
Never split the difference.
Never split the difference. Great book and fascinating stories in it. But there were a few things that I'm just like, how would you ever get to the point where you can be that neutral in your feelings about what's going on around you? And so I think it's a goal to try and figure out how do I be a little more neutral. And I think, honestly, like I mentioned the fear, insecurity at the bottom of the quadrant there. I honestly think that that's oftentimes why we get that fight or flight defense, is because we're not secure. There's so much in this world that's telling us we're less than, we're not enough, and all this stuff. And so I think we walk into conversations needing to prove ourselves, and in that we actually miss the moment to actually connect with another human being that actually might bring life to us and help encourage us in those moments. So.
Thank you, Jonathan. Any final thoughts while I make my way around?
Yeah, I'll fill the time. like I said, honor to be a part of the conversation today. And like I said, some of this is just discovery and where I'm trying to head and things I'm working on and trying to figure out how to be a better leader, how to steward the gifts that I have and my leadership abilities, and really to be able to, I mean, everybody that works with me, I want them to leave better than they came. That they're set up for whatever their next success might be, wherever they go to work next. And so I think you probably have the same heart. And so let's embrace conflict and let's use it to strengthen our teams. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was fantastic. I made most of my notes on my computer and then realized you can't carry that up here with you. You can't read it under the light. But I really loved that he was talking about that it's impossible not to take it personal, because every time someone says that, I'm like, I don't know how. So thank you for validating my feelings and why am I feeling this way, right? I really feel like that brings me out of stuff. If I'm like, what's going on with me? Why am I feeling that? Because I really am the only person I can control. So thank you so much for that. And also, next time, can someone sit with me? Like he said, just sit with me. I'm like, yeah, someone just sit with me. No, I'm not that sad. It's fine. But I thought it was funny. Please join us next Tuesday, which is our Uplift Kits app. That's on Zoom, and you can register on Kits App Business Forum site. We'll have Bonnie McVeigh, and she's talking about limiting beliefs. Jonathan talked a little bit about some of those things, like where do these beliefs come from, and how do they come out in these behaviors? Bonnie's going to jump into a little bit of that, so that could take this lesson a little bit deeper for us. That's 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Zoom next Tuesday. And then we also have Beth Wolf is talking about stress to bliss at the next chamber luncheon, which is on the 27th at 11:30 at the Kitsap Golf and Country Club. You can register on the chamber website, or you can go talk to Miss Irene over here. And then I'm going to introduce Joel and have him talk about our next Kitsap Business Forum in November. Thank you all for coming, and have a wonderful day.
You know, I think Pastor Jonathan might have answered some of those questions just through example. A lot of times the golden rule kind of applies, and I think that kind of takes precedence over everything else. Either that or maybe we should pass a law so everybody thinks like us. So one of those two things, I'm not sure which way we're going to go with that, but some other things I got out of this was that civil discourse supports society and strengthens relationships through conflict, which is kind of interesting because I think that's how marriage works. And that if you're starving, beer can keep you alive. Don't make it personal. Think about it as a polite debate. Hear their story and be curious. All good things. Anyway, thank you, Pastor, for that. The next live business forum is going to be about key performance indicators and how important that is to your business so that you can manage your business. You can't manage what you don't know. And it also has to do with one of our last Zoom meetings where you talked about business value and what your business worth, what's it really worth, and how do you determine that? Well, you've got to have key performance indicators to even start down that road. So that's going to be our next live KBF. Register for the events on our website. Please fill out the comment sheets, and you can do that online for you folks online too, and share our Facebook and LinkedIn postings. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for the live audience, and thanks for the people out there. Let's try and get together with more people. There's a lot that goes into getting together that you don't get on Zoom. Anyway, thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Heartbeat of Kitsap with Silverdale Chamber of Commerce. If you like our show, you want to know more, check us out at silverdalechamber.com or kitsapbusinessforum.com. And please leave us a review on Apple Radio. Until next time, have a productive day.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.